And submission is something that begins with God. And so the relationship, you know, many in our, we are, in some parts of our Bible are torn out because of, we are influenced by our culture. So we want to think of the husband and the wife and children. These are three things we want to think about. The first law of God or principle of God in marriage is the one commandment in the Bible that is written before sin came into the world. You know, when sin came into the world, it was Genesis chapter 3. But there's only one commandment in the Bible, only one, given before sin came into the world. And that's not the commandment to Adam, because that doesn't apply to us. There's another commandment for us, the only commandment in the Bible before sin came into the world. And that commandment is in the Genesis 2:24, which says, "A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And that was written at a time when Adam did not have a father and mother. So who was it written for? It wasn't written for Adam. It was written for us. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife." And in Psalm 45 and verse 10, it says, "Listen, O daughter, to the wife. Give attention. Forget your people and your father's house. So will your bridegroom, the king, desire your beauty." So there's a word for men and there's a word for women. Forget your father's house. That doesn't mean don't care for your parents. It means forget your attachment to them now. It doesn't mean a husband should not care for his parents. It means you should leave them emotionally, be attached to your wife. When it says to the wife, forget your father's house, it doesn't mean you don't care for them. It means you're now not attached to them. You're attached to your... You know, I'll tell you this. If you don't obey God's laws, you're going to not have a proper foundation for your marriage. And a lot of unhappy homes, in India particularly, are because people don't obey this law. In Western countries, they leave their father and mother pretty early, long before they are married. But they have other problems which cause divorce there that we come to later. But in India, one of the first problems is that when people get married, there's very little attachment to one another. It's probably because a lot of marriages are arranged. But arranged or not arranged, once you're married, your wife must be first, not your parents. Your parents may have more wisdom, and it's nothing wrong in consulting them, but decisions must be taken between you and your wife, between you and your husband. And you have to say, if you don't start from day one like that, now I'm not attached to my parents. I love them, I care for them. If they are in need, I'll help them. And if they are in financial need, you must send them money. They took care of you when you were in financial need as a baby and as a student. It's absolutely righteous for you to take care of them when they are old and they are in financial need, sure. But other than that, your attachment must not be to them. Your attachment must be to your wife. And sisters, if you're married, your attachment must be to your husband. Now you can listen to this, but do you see a lack in your own life? Do you feel that you've not done that so far? Do you feel that your wife feels that you're more attached to your parents than to her? Does your husband feel that you're more attached to your parents, sisters, than to him? How do they sense that? They sense that. You can theoretically say, no, I'm attached to you. But it's not a question of theory. It's a question of an actual practice. Is your husband first in your thinking? Is your wife first? It must be like that in human relationships. And the reason why it's not like that, let me tell you this. The reason why it is not like that is because most, even Christians in India, do not fear God enough to obey His laws. When I got married, the reason I decided that I'd be emotionally attached to my wife more than my parents was because I feared God. And I respected His laws. And I want to say I've been married 38 years and I'm very happily married. You obey God's laws, it only goes well with you. There's a verse in the Old Testament, I think it's Deuteronomy 4, which says, God says, oh, oh, can you imagine God saying, oh? Oh, that my people would keep my laws so that it can go well with them. It's the cry of a father seeing his children mess up their life and saying, I wish they would listen to me. I wish they would know that I, as God who ordained marriage, know better than them what is good for them. That they won't be so stupid to think that they know better than me. When I tell them, leave father and mother, it's for their good. When I tell them, forget your father's house, it's for their good. But they are so stupid and proud, they think they know better than me. God says, oh, I feel sad for them because I know they're going to mess up their life. And once you've messed up your life, it's so difficult to restore it. There's a saying in the world, prevention is better than cure. It's always better to prevent something than after creating a mess to try and solve it. So right from the beginning, those of you who are newly married are extremely lucky to hear these things from day one. Be attached to your wife, be attached to your husband more than to your relatives. By all means, care for them, help them, but remember Jesus. For 30 years, he was at home. And one day he left home. It was like getting married to his father now. And then when his mother came in the marriage of Cana, he said, woman, what have I got to do with you? His mother was absolutely shocked. Is this the one who always said, yes, mommy, yes, mommy, yes, mommy, for 30 years? Now turning around and saying, woman, what have I to do with you? Jesus is our example. You can't be more spiritual than Jesus. Put God first. You'll have a very happy marriage if you obey His laws. In Genesis chapter 1, before Genesis chapter 2, the earlier part of Genesis chapter 2, you see that God made Adam and Eve separately. He could have made them together. He could have made two lumps of mud, made two man and woman, and breathed into both of them. Immediately they see each other. Why didn't He do it like that? He made Adam all alone. And you know, He made Eve some hours later. Because Adam, after he was made, he had to name all the animals and birds. And can you imagine how long that took? I mean, he must have done it at a pretty high speed because he was such an intelligent man. But still, it took some hours. It's only after that that Eve was created. So, during those hours when Adam was alone without a wife, who did he have? Holy God. And God was trying to tell Adam, you know, your number one necessity in life is me. I'm your number one necessity. Never forget that. And value me more than your wife. And that's important. And then some hours later, He made Eve. And she was also alone with Him, with God, for some time before God took her to Adam and said, she never even knew there's such a person called Adam. So the lesson we learn from that is God wants to have a personal relationship with you. The first thing in the morning, He wants to meet with you before you meet your wife. First thing in the morning, sisters, He wants to meet with you before you meet your husband. Not just as in terms of time, but in terms of priority is more important. That in my priority, God is first. Then my husband, then my wife, then parents, relatives, after that. So it's all a question of priority. You know, we don't put the roof underneath and the foundation on top. Don't do that. It'll be an upside down house, and many homes are upside down because God is not on top. God is in some corner. Parents are on top. In between are the husband and wife. It's all upside down in our homes, in many, many homes. But then you'll have an upside down relationship. But if you follow God's laws of building the home, it's like building a house, put the foundation underneath and the roof on top. So put priorities, put that which is most important. And you have to leave before you can cleave. And if the leaving of parents is improper, the cleaving will also be improper. Remember that. If you have made a mistake in the past, now is the time to rectify it. It's not too late. You can start now and say, well, I want Jesus to be between me and my husband, me and my wife, and I want to have a very happy relationship.